tonight's topic is creating or consuming from a conscious place, and we're going to have a little bit of a conversation, and then we're going to have some direct experiences to practice, and we're going to talk about those experiences and just really explore for each of you, and I'll share some of my own experiences about creating and consuming and what that might mean for us individually and collectively, and we'll just see where it goes, because I think there's a lot of territory that we could cover, and I'm really curious about what is interesting to you all about this topic as well. And I say this on every call, and I'm purposely repeating it because I think it's really important that we're learning for the purpose of embodiment. And what that means is that the skill or the way of being becomes integrated into how you move in the world, and who it's a part of who you are, so that you're not necessarily having to think about the practice. It really just happens from your authenticity, your intention, your desire to be in the world in a certain way. And I bring this up because there's so often we just hear something and we think that we should be able to put it into play. And learning just from a cognitive standpoint isn't really going to be as helpful to us and as beneficial to us in the long run. So the learning cycle starts with hearing something new, and then we review it, and then we can understand it. And that's generally where people begin, you know, stopping after they understand something. But what we want to do is take it into practice, and then after we practice it, we begin to integrate it and embody it. So that's what we're going to be exploring, and our intention for these calls together. So let's start our evening with a check-in. And when you, and let's actually too start by getting a little bit more grounded. I noticed that my feet were up in my chair, so I'm going to get a little bit more centered in my chair, and my feet are on the ground, and I invite you guys to get in a place where you're feeling really grounded and present too. And feel your buttocks on the chair or couch or wherever you're located, and your feet on the ground, and begin to just pay attention to your back, your spine, and gently move it in an easeful, pleasurable way so that you kind of locate yourself. And notice your breath. And find your legs and your feet, and your arms and your hands, and your neck and your spine. And as you start feeling more centered, bring to mind the two words that have brought us together tonight, creating and consuming. And when you consider these words and the meaning of consuming or creating, do you tend to look at consuming or creating first? And what might be an example? So as we come back together, I invite you just to open up and check in with your answer to that question. When you consider the words and meaning of consuming or creating, do you tend to look at consuming or creating first? And And what was would be an example?
I think for me, the word consuming is a scary word to me, and I feel that it's almost like a black hole, and it sucks my energy. It feels negative to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. That's.
I think it's unbalanced.
Say that again.
Like the word consuming seems more powerful.
Seems more powerful.
Than the word creativity.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Yeah, and what would, when it feels powerful to you, is there something in that, a little bit, just an example of what power might be for you?
It doesn't seem like a positive power. Sort of like what Emily was saying.
Yeah.
Like never ending.
Right. Like, what I'm hearing is this maybe insatiable.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like maybe never enough or, yeah.
And that's what this season's about sometimes.
Okay. It's pressure. When I think of the season and consuming, I feel a lot of pressure. You know, there's a lot of beliefs and a lot of shoulds that arise. And it's interesting because I think that during different seasons, my focus tends to go to one or the other. So at different times of the year, I think I would be paying attention to other, one or the other. For example, in the springtime and the summer, it just feels a whole lot lighter, and creation would be more of my focus. So that would be out in the garden, planting and creating. Rather than consuming. So this is really interesting. And because there is no right or wrong or good or bad in these words, but they do bring up a lot of meaning, a lot of intention. This will be really fun for the, small intimate group like this to kind of explore this in a really deep way. So I thought that we could try this activity, the 5-minute try it, in the spirit of consumption, and spending for consumption for the holidays, and see what happens for you. And then I will share the story that actually catalyzed this 5-minute try it and this particular Money Moves card called Ready to Spend. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
Okay, so this is just going to be this 5-minute try it, and you're going to visualize this. You're going to pretend in some way that you are going out holiday shopping. So why don't you just take a moment and shut your eyes and get centered and think about shopping that you plan to do this coming week or before the holidays. For either a family member, a friend, or a partner, or just some type of shopping that you still need to accomplish or plan to accomplish before the holidays. So let me just give you a few seconds to bring something to mind. So. Bring that to mind, and you may not have the exact item that you want, but maybe you have the idea of something you want to get for a person. And I'd love for you to just bring that item to mind and that person and begin to gather energy in your belly so that you feel really grounded and confident, so that you're really coming from a place of knowing. You're coming from a place other than your head. You're coming from a place in your belly, your heart, where there's this essence knowing of what you really want, even if you don't think you know what you want. And so really feel the energy in your belly. Feel this item or this person in your heart. Feel grounded and confident. And then I'd like for you to look at this item that you are going to purchase for the other, for your friend or partner or beloved, and ask, is this satisfying a need? Is it satisfying a need for me or for the other? And as you float that question, pay attention to your body sensations, your thoughts, and your feelings. And notice what arises. And again, you're asking, is this satisfying a need for me or the other? What do you notice in your body? Sensations, thoughts, and feelings. And if you start to feel a little bit ungrounded, again, just come back to your belly. Bring some breath and feel grounded and confident. And then I want you to, again, look at this item you plan to purchase, centering your body back in gravity, and ask, is this satisfying a want for me or the other? And pay attention again to your body sensations, your thoughts, and your feelings, and what arises. Is this satisfying a want for me or the other? And what do you notice in your body sensations and your thoughts and your feelings? Now again, I'd like you to look at the item you want to purchase and centering your body back in gravity and ask, is this satisfying a rush for me, just for me? Pay attention again to your body sensations, your thoughts, and your feelings. And what do you notice that arises? Again, you're bringing to mind this item that you want to purchase. You're centering your body in gravity. And you're asking if this is satisfying a rush. And what do you notice in your body sensations and your thoughts and your feelings? Now I want you to say to yourself, I can have anything I want or I need. I can purchase this item for the other as something that I need or I want. And imagine yourself purchasing this item and you can also imagine the holidays coming and this item being given to this other. And notice what happens next. Notice what happens in your visualization in playing this gift giving out, this purchase, this experience out. And again, bring your awareness to your body wisdom. And what do you notice? What do you notice again in your body sensations, your thoughts and feelings? What might this wisdom be telling you? Now, we're visualizing this experience rather than being in an actual situation where you're purchasing something, which is how you would use this practice. So this is an experiment, and I look forward to hearing what you all have to say. But what would happen is that you would complete this practice by only purchasing the items that cultivate a real sense of authentic joy and generosity and meaning. And then you would let go of the item that felt constricted or like an adrenaline rush or produced have to thoughts, like I ought to do this or I have to do this. So I'd like to just bring this 5-minute try it to a close. And I would love for each of you to share, you know, a few sentences or so of what you noticed during this practice, this experiment, if anything. You know, how was this for you, and what did you notice, and what did you learn?
Well, I felt when we were talking about it's something that I want, that was what I had the most pleasurable sensation, considering a gift that was to satisfy a want.
Mm-hmm.
And then imagining doing that type of a gift felt really nice.
Mm.
Very warm. Felt like just like a warmth in my chest.
Oh, sweet. And so this is a gift to someone else, right? And and what I'm sensing as you're describing this is a it feels really generous, and it feels like you really know that this is something that the other would really like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that it would be really appreciated, you know, somehow.
Yeah, there would be joy associated with it, and in the giving and the receiving, like joy and connectedness is what I imagine.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you. That was really wonderful. When I asked about a want a need or a rush, what happened there? Anything?
The need sensation was like deeper in my stomach. It didn't feel as pleasurable. And it wasn't really the feeling that I gravitated towards in how I wanted with the feeling I want to generate in giving a gift, it didn't feel exciting or pleasant.
Yeah. It also didn't, so this is how you can clue into the authenticity of your experience, of your intention. So if it's a need, like you feel like you need to do this, it's a jangle. Like this isn't coming from a need, so there isn't any resonance. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so you're saying that it's like an imagined need?
Yeah, like if, so your felt sense of warmth and joy is the authentic, true manifestation of what it is that your intention of what you are, that's coming from this action.
Yes.
If it were a need, it would have a whole different, it has a whole different quality to it. And so it's not resonating with the need or a rush, which is more of a adrenaline kind of habitual kind of spending. So I'm kind of filling it out a little bit for you. And again, it's more pronounced when you're in a real direct experience of buying something. So thank you for sharing that you could tap into the real joy and the warmth of buying this particular thing for your friend, the other. So.
Yeah. No, that was, I feel grateful to have the experience so that I can connect to that when I'm actually doing it. I feel like it's like a really tangible sensation I can remember. That's how it feels right now.
Sweet. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So Laura, how about you? What happened for you?
It made me realize that I'm thinking of giving that gift. Not really for generosity, but just to, I don't know, feel better about myself. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, and it's not a problem. We do that. And all this opens up for us is an opportunity to look at, you know, is that what we want to do and make a conscious choice, or is there something else or another way that you might want to give a gift?
Right. What is it needed to give, you know? I can give them something else.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I'm trying to think of a situation where, you know, I'm in a hurry or something. I want to get something done, and it's something like I think I need to do, so the generosity place kind of gets closed down, and it becomes more perfunctory, so when I slow down, then that really opens up the opportunity to look at, you know, how do I want to offer the gift. And sometimes the answer may be, I just wanted to get it done. You know, I need to get a teacher's gift, and, you know, this is something that's expected, and, you know, we just go and do it. And,
right.
And that's perfectly fine. You know, it's not a problem. But then it also opens up, sometimes I sit back and go, well, you know what? I really, I think I would like to do that differently. And I, maybe I would like to bake some brownies or something, or do something different. And this is the opportunity in this. It's, you know, spending pause. It gives us another place to you know, really make a choice. So do you think that...
Especially this year, because I don't have as much money as I have had in other years.
Yeah.
I've been picky and choosy anyway. But.
Well, and so that's a really important consideration, because holiday giving it can be a real difficult period where we go into credit card debt and we really set ourselves back for several months or even a year in trying to satisfy something that we think we should be doing or need to be doing. And so this is really an opening for you to say, you know, what is it, peel back the, as they say, the onion or the layers a little bit and say, what is it really, what's the most true right now? And how can I really give from my heart and my intention rather than I think I need to be doing this? Does that make sense?
It's been interesting because this year I'm more poor than I usually am, because I got laid off.
Mm-hmm.
But usually I run around like a banshee at Christmas time, and I haven't been able to do that this year. So it's been interesting to look at.
Yeah, and it sounds like in some ways there's a little bit of a blessing in this. Is that where you're not running around? Do you see what I'm saying? It's kind of a, wow, I don't have the extra resources. Like, I normally be running around like a banshee, but now with fewer resources, I have the opportunity to slow down and see and pay more attention to where I do want to allocate my resources and how I want to do this. So let's... let's hold that. Hold some of what you've been describing in the field of our conversation as we continue, because I think this might be kind of fun to in the conversation with some next actions that would be really supportive of both of you, but certainly with what you're describing, Laura, there might be some really interesting and helpful ways of giving this year. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Good.
So I'm going to tell a quick story about how this spending pause or this ready to spend card came to be, because it was quite a surprise. And it shows how unconscious we can be when we are physically in a store where there's a lot of merchandise, beckoning us to buy it. So I don't know how many years ago, maybe 10 years ago, and I was just going to go get some dish towels. We had, a bunch of dish towels that were, ripped and had holes in them, and so I was just getting three new dish towels, and I was going to Home Goods, which is that discount store with all the different kinds of, home furnishings and plates and all sorts of nonsense. And I went in the door, and I immediately grabbed a cart. Now, why I grabbed a cart when all I was getting was dish towels, I don't know. But honestly, it was almost like I grabbed the cart and then I just clicked into a whole new time warp. It was an hour, an hour of, like, all of a sudden going up and down the aisles, and I began to just, oh, this looks great, and put all of these different items in the cart. And I had a cheese fondue and chocolate fondue maker. I had a plastic pitcher and cup, plastic cups, fun cups. I had organizers that, you know, for drawers and for shelving. I mean, it just, it was stuff that, well, in a minute I will tell you about what happened, but I mean, I, as I said, I was up and down the aisles, and you know, everything was merchandise so that it was like, oh, you need this, you need this, you need this. And I at some point got a moment of clarity, and, you know, I looked down and I went, what is this? I mean, I stopped and I said, what is all of this junk in this cart? I came in here for dish towels. And I really began to get curious about each of the items in the cart. And it was stunning, because I said this was a moment of clarity around unconscious spending. And what I noticed was that each of the items in my cart was really more about a connection with another person. So, for example, I had there was a smoothie maker, and that was something that was for me and my son to make smoothies. He loved, you know, smoothies, and that was one way for us to have some time together and connect. The fondue kits were basically for our family, because we enjoy making cheese fondue and chocolate fondue dinners. The colorful plasticware was for, you know, I had already imagined this neighborhood cookout where we were all coming over and all sharing, and this was going to be some, you know, fun lemonade drinks. The organizing boxes were for my daughter and me to tidy up her room. And like I said, these purchases had much less to do with the purchase and more to do about connections with others. So what I really discovered was that I really wanted more time to play with my son and to have more family dinners and to enjoy the company of our neighbors and to assist my daughter in a fun way to, you know, organizing her room. And I, you know, when I recognized that that was more of what was underneath those purchases, it would have taken me 3 hours to put everything back in the place, you know, so I, like, sheepishly grabbed the dish towels that were at the bottom of the cart, left this cart, and, you know, went and got in line and just had this moment of realization that, yeah, I know, I'm embarrassed, I did, I left it, you know, but this is what happens. People, and, you know, they have these fantasies and they entertain themselves going shopping. And it certainly during the holidays, it heightens that kind of behavior, which is, you know, more about consumption. And so I came up with this way of practicing when you're in the situation that we just, you know, went through, that, you know, is this a need, a want, or a rush? And when you tune into the essence of that purchase, when you can tap into that warm glow that Emily was talking about, you know that you're buying something that is really helping you to become the person you want to be, rather than satisfying, you know, an adrenaline hit or some sort of obligation that you think you need to be satisfying. So, and I wanted to just give you that direct experience that, you know, this actually came from something that I did, and we, you know, we all do at some point in our life. So so let's continue and look at each of these ways of being, creating and consuming separately, and then bring it back together. And I just also want to reiterate that this you know, topic tonight is not about changing anything, but it's really about shining light on the subject so that you can learn more about yourself and, you know, your way of being right now with consumption and creation. And then when we have a little bit of new awareness, then you can set some intentions and make some choices towards those intentions. So let's continue and see how we can support some new awareness that can set some help you to set some intentions and to make some choices towards those. So let's start with consuming. And, you know, earlier you both said that consuming had kind of a darker side to it, or, you know, kind of a powerful kind of black hole way of seeing and viewing. And, you know, I want to emphasize that consuming is not bad. We're all consumers to some degree. And what we want to explore is the inspiration and action toward consuming, you know, in a variety of areas. So let's expand what consuming can look like in a number of areas, and then we can focus on consuming for the holidays just to keep us in a way that we don't, you know, go off on you know, too many different horizons, because we could be here for hours. That would be really interesting, but looking at the holidays will keep us focused. So what arises in your mind that when you think of consuming, building on what we thought of earlier, but also in a way that, you know, consumption is a part of our life. So what are some of the other areas, and I can toss out a few other areas, like literally you can look at things like consumption of food or, you know, clothing or you know, household goods or whatever. You can look at energetically, you know, the space I'm consuming, the home, the land. You can look at emotionally, you know, in a conversation or a situation. Am I consuming the space? Is it all about me? So expanding consumption. And again, you know, kind of getting centered and, you know, what else arises for you, or what do you think about when you think, when you look at consumption? Is there a time when it feels really right? Is there a time that it feels like it is that powerful black hole? I'm going to pause here because I've said a lot, and just to see what comes up for you.
I think when I do something because I think I have to do it, that's when it gets negative or powerful or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm not doing it for an authentic reason.
Yeah. And, you know, Laura, that just feels really clean and simple. Like a really direct way of knowing.
Yeah, and sometimes
I'm feeling... we have
to. Go ahead.
Can you say that again?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, what's coming to mind is this list that I made the other day of people that I want to buy gifts for or have a gift for. And, I mean, there is definitely a feeling of love that I, you know, as I put these names down on a list, there's, I want to give to these people, but I also, you know, then I have to, like, fill up the list. I have to have all these items to put on next to the names, and that, I don't know, somehow it shifts into this obligation that doesn't really feel as good.
Yeah, it's so interesting because both of you are saying something that's very close to each other, because it's, Emily, you're in the place of really loving and wanting to, you know, do something for these people you care deeply about, and then there becomes a kind of a need. The need and the obligation to do this. And so I'm wondering, what is it that happens in that space between the generosity of spirit, of wanting to connect and show your love, and then the fulfillment of that action? It seems like there's something that could be asked or tended to in that space. So I'm playing with you here because there is not necessarily an answer, but the question is what's going to be most in alignment with the authentic expression of that felt sense of love and generosity.
Yeah, ideally it would be a creative gesture. And it's just sometimes, it's like all of a sudden everything has to happen in December. Like, I love these people all year, but all of a sudden in December I'm supposed to come up with some way to show it. And it's like this time limit that, like, it's a pressure, and I've never been somebody who starts thinking about Christmas before December, and maybe that's one way to shift it, but at this point it's kind of too late. It's December 12th, and I love making gifts for people. That feels really good, but it's also, I'm feeling that pressure of like, okay, now I've got to come up with an idea, and I've got to, create something. And it's like, and then there's that urgency that makes it feel like an obligation again.
Yeah. So So I'm hearing time pressure that we put on ourselves, a desire to, you know, be inspired creatively, and then all of
pressure
that,
not to let people down.
Yeah, that's great. That's another part of it.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have
true.
This imagined. I don't know if it's imagined or we have it in our minds, but. You know, we have to do it right or something.
Exactly.
Or December 25th.
Yeah. You know, there's this, you know, I want to do this right. I want to meet their expectations. All of this is kind of mounds together. I mean, and again, you know, the energetic field, we talked a little bit about it in the beginning, where it gets adds to the bit of this chaos and this pressure. So I am I want to hold this tension, this kind of creative tension here, you know, because around consumption, and then try to move to some creativity or creating, you know, as we come to the, I realize as we're getting close to time, but, you know, we tend towards negating consumption. And in other words, to be more in alignment with our authentic expression in the world, you know, right now what we're talking about is authentic giving, we might try to minimize consuming. We might try, we might try consuming with more clarity and intention, which generally means that there's less consumption. And so what I'm wondering as we move into talking a little bit about creating is holding the desire to give gifts to our loved ones. Let's look at what might be some easy pathways to, you know, kind of magnify that love through the actions and really manifest the results that we want. So I don't know where this is going to go, but let's just hold that together as an outcome for this call together. And so talking about creating, creating is basically happening every moment. You know, every moment is changing, so every moment is really a new creation. And there's something that, you know, to tap into and realize, like, are you part of that natural order and that natural flow of creation? You know, and, you know, what we want to explore here, again, is the inspiration and action toward creating, you know, in a variety of areas. So when you think about creating, what arises in your mind as part of you being a creative source in the world?
Well, for me, I love to write, and I feel I guess the most powerful connection with that creative flow when I'm writing.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's really clear. Yeah, and Laura, how about you?
I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, a way to play with that is to picture yourself in different situations, like, you know, as Emily was just saying, writing. So you could picture yourself in some situations of, you know, also writing or drawing or cooking or walking or being in conversation with someone, or, you know, where do you feel like you get energized? You know, where you're tapping, dancing, singing. You know, what activities in life do you feel alive?
How about you, Gail?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking. I would say that I also share a love of writing and feel that creative inspiration. Walking in the woods is, I feel an aliveness, and I'm a part of nature's creation. Like, it's, you know, it's almost like there's this momentary appreciation of natural beauty and surroundings, you know, watching the sunset. I mean, I'm not, it's actually funny because, you know, really I'm not doing anything, but I'm just feeling like I'm a part of this natural order of creating. I'm also really paying a lot of attention to what's going on in situations that, like, something is going to be moving forward or something that wants to happen next, and what is the creative burst that wants to come forth. You know, that almost like there's no thinking, but there's an inspiration that is required somehow. Now, that's also, this is something new that's happening and feels like it's part of the creative generation of flow. So that sounds kind of weird as I'm listening to myself talk, but I think it's what it's pointing to is there is a way that the kind of conscious creation evolves and almost has more of a tipping point than consumption. Or there is a tipping point when there's more creating coming than consuming, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
what I'm getting from what you're saying is that there's like a point at which we can wait and listen, and that can be an act of creativity.
Beautiful.
Waiting for that creative energy to show itself, but this might take being still and listening.
Thank you. I think that's a great way of reframing what I was describing, and maybe as we circle back around to some of the gift giving that you both were bringing up, that how could there be some presencing or giving a little bit of that space to the actions that you would like to manifest in your gift giving. So let's do that right now. Let's try this. As you each tune into the gift giving that you want to express this holiday, is there something that, is there some inspiration that might be coming through that would support for you, Emily, the, you know, kind of the love that you described in giving, and for you, Laura, would really take into account the, you know, the you know, fewer resources, but still the desire to express your love and generosity. So just take a moment, and no answers right or wrong, but just, you know, center, feel the gravity, feel your body being supported by gravity, and take a couple breaths. Just see if there's anything that arises in your awareness that might support.
I feel like this call has helped because my energy has shifted a little bit. That's how it feels in my body anyway.
Great. Well, that's wonderful.
Like a vibrant energy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's see if we can continue that vibrant energy into some, you know, intentions for you, and then some next actions for you, so that you can, you know, continue to tap into this kind of energy for yourself as you, you know, make some decisions, and then, and really, you know, manifest those gifts for your loved ones, your friends and family. So
I felt when we were talking about creativity, and then right after that, kind of going inward for a moment, I felt or saw in my mind like a lot of colors, and it came to my mind to maybe do some art for some of the people on my list. I've been doing more art lately, and I feel like I could maybe do a small painting for a few different people on my list, like think about each person and just and create something that was a reflection of how I see that person.
Beautiful.
So that was really... You're really inspiring. I really appreciate that, the opportunity to, like, think about that deeply for a moment and get that inspiration.
That's beautiful. And
sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go. No, Laura, please.
No, I was thinking that I could send out some poetry that I've already written, but they haven't seen yet.
Wonderful.
What I was thinking.
I almost guess I have tears in my eyes. I mean, to me, these gifts that you're describing they're so precious. They are so precious because they are an expression of you. And to me, there's nothing more precious, more valuable than really receiving something that is that unique individual creativity that no one else could offer but you. So I'm so inspired by what you're both sharing and encourage you to continue this exploration from, you know, I guess we could just say call it from giving from your heart, you know, just really pausing, getting off the pressure cooker of I've got to get this done, and I'm letting go of the needs and the shoulds, and saying, you know, for you, Laura, how would I love to share my poetry? What form do I want that to take? You know, what poems would I like to send to different people that might be reflective of them? And then you, Emily, the same. I mean, as you were describing, you know, the paintings, you know, even a note card that's painted with a, you know, just a beautiful note inside. Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's a good idea.
So I'm really, I appreciate you both for your deep exploration and your sharing, and you know, the offering that you've given yourself, but also to others who might be listening to this call afterwards, so that, because I'm sure that they will be inspired as well. So let me ask you then, I was going to close with, you know, name And this still applies. So name one area in your life that you would like to expand into creation. And, you know, what does it look like, and would you like to set an intention?
I would like to... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go right ahead, please.
I would like to put more creative energy into friendships.
Beautiful. And would you like to set an intention?
Is that like a goal or...
You know, it's not a goal. It's kind of a big open statement of how it might happen. So it could look like I easily and joyfully and authentically attend to my friendships, something like that. So it's
okay. I authentically, easily and joyfully connect with women that I love.
Beautiful. Thank you. How about you, Laura?
I like to strengthen my connection to others.
Sweet, sweet, beautiful.
We're all on the same wavelength.
Yeah, and I will set an intention to consistently and purposefully expand my writing. So thank you for that space right now to actually commit and land in that intention. So as we're a little bit over, so I appreciate you both for staying a little bit longer as we kind of drilled down and refined some of the things that we were looking at together. I would love to just let you know that next year we're going to, our next call will be on January 9th, and it's going to start the year off with a year of financial fitness. So we're going to play each month with something related to financial fitness, and January it's going to be, it all begins with being willing and then commitment. And so that's what you can look forward to as we begin the new year. And unless you guys have something you'd like to say in closing, I will just appreciate you both again and wish you happy holidays.
Thank you for the phone call.
My total pleasure, Laura. Thank you for joining.
I wanted
thank
to
you,
say
Emily.
That. Yeah, thank you. Gail, when you were telling that story, I was cracking up. I was, like, cracking up, imagining, like, the fondue kit going in the basket and the, I don't know, all these different things. That it just, I could completely picture it. And then it ended up not being so humorous. You know, you turned it into this really sweet lesson. But just the image of, like, you know, kind of just blindly going through the store and putting all these things in the cart, it was, I was amused. So thank you.
Oh, well, you're welcome. I did laugh, honestly. I was seeing it was that Milgram kind of laughter. I was laughing hysterically going, oh, my God, what am I doing with this stuff? And I, you know, and then I'm looking around thinking, I have no idea where all this came from, you know. And so, you know, as I said, dug it out. But it was, it was such a beautiful lesson, like you said. And I have actually given that practice to clients who felt like they could never have what they wanted. So I said, okay, what's your favorite, one client, what's your favorite store? And it was the Container Store. And I said, I want you to go in there And I want you to go through the store and you get a cart, and anything you want, anything you think you want, I want you to put it in there. And so she ended up having two carts filled. And then I said, and then I want you to imagine that you purchase the item, you use it and enjoy it, and so it almost gives you this whole total body felt sense of really owning it. And then after you've done that with every item, I want you to really see what it is that you want to purchase. So this is what she did, and she said, I went in there to get some particular item, but then I filled up two carts, and honestly, she said, it was so amazing for her to actually have the felt sense of really enjoying the particular item. And she said, once I gave myself permission to own it and enjoy it, I didn't really want it anymore. It was like I really realized that I didn't need it or want it. It was this scarcity that, you know, I could never have it. So it was very interesting. And she ended up getting some other particular item than the thing that she went in there for. So it's really interesting how we... money and spending and all of this, it has some really interesting processes and beliefs, and it touches on so many things. So, adding a little bit more to what we were discussing. But so, anyways, thanks for circling back around on that one. So, all right, my friends, have a wonderful. You're very welcome. Have a wonderful holiday, and have a wonderful time creating for your family and friends.
Thanks, Gail.
All right. Good night. Bye.
Good night.